This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott with a note to our listeners. This next segment contains references to the trapping, killing, and eating of beavers. So while beavers were a staple for indigenous people and early settlers in this area, it may be a very difficult topic for people to hear today, especially for those who are sensitive about animals or about the realities of where our food comes from.
Word of mouth.
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 From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Carol Leonard is considered one of the forerunners or foremothers of the modern midwifery movement. She was the first midwife certified to practice legally in New Hampshire back in 1982 and has since delivered more than 1,200 babies safely in their own homes. That story is covered in her memoir, Ladies' Hands, Lion's Heart. It's a midwife saga. Today, we're focusing on a collection of essays on some of the other facets of Carol's life as a trapper, a tree farmer, and owner with her husband of Bad Beaver Farm in Ellsworth, Maine. The collection is called Bad Beaver Tales, and Carol Leonard is here to share a few with us. Carol, it's so great to have you here.
And it's really great to see you again.
Yeah, there's a little bit of history here.
Right.
When I was a much younger woman.
Now, how many years ago was that really?
It must have been 1983 mm-hmm. or 4. Mm-hmm. I worked down in Concord at Isis Boutique for a fantastic woman named Winnie, and Carol Leonard was one of our frequent customers.
Well, Winnie was a very dear friend of mine.
And you were a bit of a legend, I think, in Concord at that time, especially as a woman who, I don't know, I sort of imagined you in a very our bodies ourselves kind of way.
Yep.
And you've had so many evolutions since then, both as a writer and this whole aspect of your life that I didn't know so much about at Bad Beaver Farms. First of all, Bad Beaver Farms. What?
Well, we really do have very bad beavers. They are right now flooding probably between 30 and 50 acres of our farm. But for 7 years, I was saying to my husband that he had to just try to outwit them. And so he tried everything, beaver bafflers, beaver deceivers. Now it's gotten to the point where I realize that we will never win.
This is 30 acres of a 400-acre farm?
Yes, right. Wow. Our beavers are they actually are mason beavers. When they are furious with us for undoing one of their dams, they swim with rocks. They swim on their backs carrying rocks the size of their heads, and they mortise the rocks in with clay, so it actually looks sort of like the Tower of London. There are only specific beavers that have like a double recessive gene to use rocks.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Mason beaver is not a type. They're just sort of Masonic in nature.
Right, right. But they're very bad. I mean,
well, okay, so what do you do about bad beavers? I mean, is there a trapping season? Can you just kill beavers?
Well, there is a trapping season. It's in the winter because that's when their pelts are better. But you can live trap out nuisance beavers, and you can complain and have them live trapped out. But that's not really very humane because beavers don't relocate very well. They usually die because of the social structure of beavers. If you have nuisance beavers, you can have them trapped out. And that's what I'm doing in Maine right now.
What do you mean trapped out? That other people?
There's a trap. It's a body hold. I mean, it kills them. I mean, mm-hmm. It's called a Conibear 330. It's a long evolution in my thought process, obviously, but
this is not the steel jaw.
No, it's a body hold, and I know it's really hard for people to talk about this, but I mean, it actually drowns them. Well, it doesn't really drown them. The old timer trappers say that the beavers succumb to carbon dioxide narcosis because they don't actually drown. There's not water in their lungs. They actually hold their breath. You know, this is like the omnivore's dilemma about deciding about how to do this. But what happened in part of my evolution with all this is I was looking at the beavers one day and I thought, I want to have them be part of our protein source because we've made a pact with each other that we were going to try to provide as much of our protein with our own hands. Because I don't want to eat anything that's out of the supermarket anymore, especially after the whole pink slime deal and the way that they're genetically modifying chickens. It's horrifying.
So you're talking about eating the beaver?
I am. I have, actually. I'm very into it. I know, and all the innuendos about eating beavers, you know, ha, ha, ha.
Well,
I know.
How do you prepare a beaver?
Well, I actually brought some for you guys today. I know. No, it's delicious. So here's
does it taste like chicken?
Everybody asks that. You know, chicken from the grocery store is horrible. I mean, it tastes like cardboard. We actually have our own chickens. So when you ask about what a beaver tastes like, it's sort of like taking a tomato out of your garden, you know, a tomato that you've grown yourself and comparing it to a tomato that you get in the grocery store.
Right.
You can't.
No comparison.
There, you can't. It's not even. And so with a beaver, I knew that the Native Americans said that it was a delicacy. And
beaver tails was...
Well, beaver tails is what actually kept Lewis and Clark alive because there's a lot of fat in it. There's so much better meat in the beaver that I haven't even bothered with the tails. I wanted to know if it really was as good as they say. And so I actually got a beaver, fresh beaver from New Boston. And I cleaned it in my in my driveway with my girlfriend, Kendall. My husband, Tom, was so freaked out that he actually went on a convenient motorcycle trip with his brother while we were doing this. But we figured it out. I mean, I went online to try to see if there was an anatomy thing about how to do a beaver, but there is not anywhere. There's just nothing. And I called all the trappers I know. I called all the people that I know that cook wild game. Nobody could tell me how to do it. So Kendall and I had to figure it out ourselves, but we did.
I love the description, actually, in the book, you know, you and Kendall, you know, drinking Chardonnay.
I know.
And didn't someone come?
Yes. My husband's really good friend and his wife drove into the driveway and they looked so skeeged out when they saw us. And I said, hey, do you want to taste our beaver? And he said, no, we're good.
Well, there is something that comes across in your writing. I've been reading your blog right now. Your Bad Beaver Tales, the first volume, is out on Kindle, and it's out as a paperback book.
It's out on Kindle for 99 cents. That is a shameless plug right there.
So we'll just roll on with that one. You know, what I read there on your blog is there's this kind of pioneering spirit of a woman anyway, you know, that you're a midwife. This is something that wasn't done early on. You know, you're a tree farmer. You sort of anticipated many years ago sort of the renewed back to the land movement. Do you actually imagine people eating their own beaver?
Well, here the Skinner that I've been working with in Ware, his name is Harris Eelsley, and he's the real thing. He's an older man, but he skins probably between 2,000 and 3,000 beavers a season.
Wow.
A year, right.
So what does he do with the pelts?
The pelts go back to the trappers, and then they bring them to the big fur auctions in Canada. And most beaver right now, beaver pelts are being bought by China.
Wow.
Yeah, but there's 3,000 fresh beaver carcasses that are just put in a landfill. For me, that's outrageous. I mean, honestly, if you're going to be reverent about the animal and use every single part of the animal, that's enough meat right there to probably feed a lot of very hungry people.
We're speaking with Carol Leonard. She is the author of the memoir, Lady's Hands, Lion's Heart. That's a midwife saga. But she's also the author of a collection of essays called Bad Beaver Tales. It's about the life on her farm in Down East Maine with her husband, the Bad Beaver Farm, and also the serious problem of beavers and, let's say, beaver waste. I guess that's what I'm hearing from you. Let's go back to this butchering process. You do have to be very careful, you write, about clearing the scent glands
right.
in the beaver.
Yep.
Now, that's not something you learn in Biology 101.
Right.
How'd you figure it out?
That was with Mr. Harris Eelsley.
Oh.
They're called the castor glands, and actually the trappers keep the castor glands because they sell them for either they use a castor scent for lures, or it's actually the base for Chanel No. 5.
No.
Yep.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. But if you leave it in and if you nick it, then it will taint the meat and the meat will not be good.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the purpose that beavers serve. That they were instrumental on a couple of different levels, especially in the formation of this country. Beaver trapping, of course, was a huge source of income and a reason why people went into
it. They actually trapped out the beavers to near extinction. By the middle of the 19th century, there were almost no beavers left.
And I guess that the land that they left behind once those ponds were drained was really rich, fertile soil.
No, they're great for wetlands. I mean, I love what they've done in some of our land. I mean, because they're true wetlands where there are herons and American bitterns, and you know, it's a part of it's beautiful. But enough is enough already. And for me, I'm looking at it as a renewable resource. You know, it's a sustainable way to provide protein in our diet.
Oh, I know that on your blog you talk about a lot of friends have expressed some dismay about you making the decision to eat beaver. I mean, is it sort of considered freakish by them? I mean, what's the objection?
Well, the thing that I find interesting is that they will eat the steak from the grocery store, and they don't put it together the horror of those slaughter yards. So when you get a steak that's nice in some styrofoam and nice plastic wrap, you're thinking that it's so sanitized. You're not really aware of how horrible those lives are for those animals. I mean, it's really they have a really grim existence, and the same with the poultry. When I'm getting these beavers are vegetarians. They eat poplar and aspen, and they live in fresh, clean, flowing water. So they taste like that. They taste like spring. They taste light and fresh, and there's no hormones. There's no antibiotics. I mean, there's no pollution. I think it's a no-brainer.
And okay, you've got me. I'm going to try it. You brought some?
I did bring some. Now, what I did, this is actually a roast, because their back legs are very powerful for mm-hmm. swimming. And so this is a big roast, and I was actually afraid it might be tough. I have never done this before. I've cooked the backstrap and the tenderloins, I've done with those is just in olive oil, because mm-hmm. I really wanted to taste what the real tasted like. But this one I marinated in some tamari sauce and olive oil and garlic a little bit, and then I grilled it this afternoon, so it'd still be hot. So
I'll do it.
Okay.
You've convinced me.
My friends, I have a T-shirt that says, save a tree, eat a beaver. All right, so this is the size of the roast.
Yeah, that's almost like two little fillets.
I cut it in half just so it'd be easier to grill.
Okay. Right. And she even has red checkerboard napkins. Smells really nice. I have to admit, I'm a little scared.
I can't wait, because I was too when I first did it.
Have to admit, I expected this like stringy, gamey texture.
This is incredible.
Wowie.
This is what meat is supposed to taste like. Haha, you can't stop, can
Wowie.
You?
Wowie. I'm having another bite of beaver. I don't know. Is it going to take a radical rethink? We're rethinking a lot of things that we think about locally in our food sources. What's it going to take?
Well, I'm actually not proselytizing and not trying to get, you know, hordes of beaver eaters. I just it's a decision that I've made for myself, because we have, like I said, it's a renewable resource that we have. That's fair game to me. I mean, you know, I hope I have a bunch in my freezer.
I gotta admit, it sounds like some real redneck stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's only the half of it, really.
Well, Carol Leonard, you have brought me an entirely new experience and a new way of thinking. I really want to thank you for coming in.
Well, you were very brave.
Carol Leonard is the author of Lady's Hands, Lion's Heart. That's a midwife saga. But she has a new collection out of essays called Bad Beaver Tales. It's available as a book, but also as a 99-cent download on Kindle. We have links to more on the book and her blog, Bad Beaver Tales, at wordofmouthradio.org. Coming up, the transformation of the corner bodega into a source for healthier food. That's when Word of Mouth continues.